This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome to the second episode of Market Talk for January. In this programme, we'll be asking just how happy were the Chinese New Year celebrations in terms of renewed economic activity? As central bankers form an orderly queue to raise interest rates once more, what's the overall messaging around inflation? And in a week which sees results from the tech titans, what will be the likely takeaways? So, hosting the podcast is me, Frances Watson, and fresh from celebrating the Year of the Rabbit, Ben Bennett, who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Frances, and happy Lunar New Year to you.
Oh, yes, and same to you, same to you. So tell us, how was it? I mean, given the lifting of COVID restrictions in China, did people celebrate the New Year as much as you'd imagined or not?
Well, yeah, it's, as you say, we know the restrictions have been lifted aggressively over the last few weeks, haven't we? So everyone had an opportunity to get back to normal. A couple of things in China were back to normal, if not more than normal. So if we take this Lunar New Year holiday period, the sort of week of celebrations versus the same period in 2019, so pre-COVID, movie tickets, for example, were up about 16%. Highway traffic was up, say, 14%. So, you know, people are doing things more than normal. But there are a few things where there's still clearly a bit of reluctance. So rail travel was down 22% still. So I guess people are a little bit nervous about maybe traveling in close confines with other people. Perhaps still, you know, infections are pretty high, I suspect, still in China. Air travel is still quite restricted internationally. So there weren't that many visitors here in Hong Kong compared to 2019, much, you know, considerably down versus 2019 due to restrictions. And then most importantly, the property sector, which, you know, has been the thing that's been dragging the Chinese economy down last year, even without what was been going on with the COVID restrictions. Property sales for big cities were still down 18%. So, you know, that's perhaps a little bit disappointing. You'd have hoped, you know, you don't need necessarily to go and mingle with people to buy a property, do you? I suspect people are still a little bit worried about developers completing the properties that they're going to be buying. That's still not been solved yet. So that'll take a little bit longer. But, you know, authorities have got their eye on that job ahead. I suspect that they'll keep on trying to improve the situation in the property market, and they'll know that that's something that was a little bit disappointing, and they'll try and improve that over the next few months.
Okay, that's interesting. So let's just go from China to the US now, because we've got Q4 numbers for most economies, haven't we? And we saw quite a strong Q4 GDP number in the US. And of course, all year, well, the year so far, investors have been thinking, oh, soft landing. But our economists are suggesting that if you look at the recent survey figures, and of course they are forward looking, aren't they? Something more sinister lies under the bonnet.
Yeah, Q4 GDP beat expectations as the headline figure, but we all know you've got to dig into, you know, beneath the headline figure. And it really only beat expectations because there was quite a big build in inventories. So building a lot of stuff, but it hasn't been sold yet. That's not necessarily a good thing. And also pretty strong net exports. So again, that suggests that the domestic demand has been weakening. So the sort of maybe the imports have not been as strong as possible, or you're building things to sell abroad. So it's not a great sign looking ahead, despite that headline beat. We've seen a definite weakening of retail demand from the retail sales, the monthly data that we have over the last couple of months as well. So that really tallies there. And as you say, sentiment is not particularly good. So things are deteriorating, I'd say, despite that Q4 number that we saw. But there isn't a recession yet. It's not deteriorating to the same level as a recession. So, you know, if your glass is half full, you could think that there is a soft landing coming. So it's deteriorating, but maybe the Fed will get this thing to land softly. Or your glass is half empty, you can think there's a descent now towards a recession. We've got the first stages of deterioration. We're going to get a recession. We'd be more in the second camp, the descent to a recession, than the first one. But, you know, you can understand why investors are, you know, getting a little bit more positive, because I think back at the end of last year, everyone was thinking this is definitely a recession. And there is this glimmer of hope of a soft landing. And that's one of the reasons why we've had a pretty decent start to the year for risk assets, right? You know, the NASDAQ is up 9% up until, you know, we're talking on the 31st of January. So up until the 30th of January, NASDAQ's up 9%. High yield credit spreads are tighter by 51 basis points and yields are lower. So government bond yields, the 2-year treasury yield is 14 basis points lower. So, you know, investors are pricing in a little bit less aggressive Fed action, a little bit of hope that we've got a soft landing, and that's leading to this pretty decent start to the year, the sort of Santa rally after Santa's come, I suppose.
Yes, he's just a bit late, but he's right. Arrived finally, hasn't he? Yeah. So what's not late, of course, is the Q4 earnings season, and analysts are busy scribbling away. This week, we've got loads, not least the big tech giants, Apple, Google and Amazon. So, I mean, we had pretty hefty falls in that sector last year, didn't we? We've had a bit of what seems to be, I don't know, is it a relief rally? I mean, what are your thoughts there, Ben?
I think the earnings season is similar to what I've just described for the broader economy. It's a bit of a waiting game because we are seeing results now that, you know, beat miss ratio, again, talking up data up until about the 30th of January, 70 beats percent to sort of 30% miss. That's about normal, maybe a little bit disappointing. The growth in sales on a year-on-year, growth in earnings on a year-on-year basis for the S&P 500 is flat. So compared to last year, it's about 0%. Again, if you want to be positive, you'd say, well, the bottom hasn't fallen out. This is okay. But this is actually in line with our forecast for earnings over the whole of 2023 to be down for the S&P 500, something like 20 to 25% versus last year. We'd expect the sort of fourth quarter year-on-year comparison to be sort of flat, and then it'll deteriorate as the recession takes place. So you can't make any firm macro conclusions yet. Either thing could take place, but it doesn't reduce our confidence that we're still going to see a recession and we're still going to see those fall in earnings. If we get that, we still think there's going to be downside to equity markets from here, despite the strong start of the year.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, you talk about earnings, but then at the moment, the price action seems to be altogether different. So given those rallies in equities and given the rally in credit, both on high yield and investment grade, how are you formulating current thinking now?
Yeah, I mean, I think we are still cautious because we are worried about the recession. Now, timing that has obviously proved very difficult because we've had a strong start of the year, and, you know, being cautious at the start of the year, you've missed out on that outperformance, of course. And Q1, to be fair, coming into the year, it could have felt like a sort of stagflation environment where, you know, growth was slowing, but you still got inflation. And that could have been a really bad Q1. But it is right now feeling a bit more like the as I was talking before, about a soft landing stance. And that's why markets are rallying. I do think that the reason why markets are rallying, not only that perception from investors, but I think the fact that we've had a relatively warm winter overall in Europe has taken away that tail risk of running out of gas. The China COVID situation is a clear positive. The reopening looking ahead is extremely positive for Chinese growth. So those two things together probably tip the balance in favor of the soft landing being priced in. But unfortunately, like I said, I mean, we've done a deep dive this week, actually, looking at China reopening. Is that enough to offset the downside that we're seeing with a US recession, with a European recession? And it does moderate it to some degree, but it doesn't offset it totally. And if we were to see that fall in earnings, which we expect, then we will expect to see a fall in equities as well. It just hasn't happened historically to have a recession, have a fall in earnings, and not see equity markets fall during that period. So that is our view still, despite the soft landing getting a little bit more love.
Okay, and I should mention, actually, talking about deep dives and earnings, that I'm actually going to be recording a podcast with Lars Krekel, who's written a blog on this recently about Q4 earnings and what to expect. So listen out for that if you can. Now, busy week in financial markets again, and a plethora of central bank announcements. I think we got the Fed on Wednesday, the ECB and the BOE on Thursday. What actions are we expecting there, Ben?
Loads, and that's a hugely busy week, actually. By the time you're listening to this, we'll have had a few of the announcements. So yeah, for the with the risk of sounding stupid, very very quickly, I'd say most market participants believe the Fed will hike, but will reduce their pace of hiking to just 25 basis points. The ECB, we and most market participants, again, think will hike by 50 basis points, keep that pace of 50 basis points. We had some Spanish inflation data this week, which is higher than expected. Just one country, could be some funny data, but you know that's not going to encourage the ECB to reduce their pace of hikes. The Bank of England, again, we think 50 basis points. But the Bank of England is the hardest one to call because they have occasionally done some unusual things. So we'll see what happens with them. But again, it's a theme of still hiking, reducing the pace of hiking where possible, where necessary, because we are seeing an inflection point in inflation. And you know, it won't change people's minds. Those people in the camp of soft landing will think that that's still where we're heading. Those of us who think we're in recession will maintain that view, I'm sure, just whatever the central banks do. I think the only significant surprise, if it were to occur, would be if central banks decide to change their reaction function, start talking about accepting higher inflation, start talking about maybe stopping hiking rates because they're worried about the job data rolling over. But I just don't, that's not going to happen this week, I wouldn't have thought. And really, the Fed, the ECB, and the Bank of England have been very clear that they want to get inflation under control. And that's something that they're going to continue to do for the next few months, at least. You said we're going to get job data as well. I mean, this week, on Friday, we get the usual monthly payroll report from the US. That's been so strong. The Fed is going to want to see some sign that the labor market is easing again before they even think about stopping hiking, let alone cutting interest rates. So yeah. You know, that's something they'll have an eye on.
I was just going to say, will they have sight of some sort of job data, an inkling, before they opine on Wednesday?
You're right. Yeah, no, they won't see the payroll report, a Friday payroll report, but they will. There's other jobs data that we get throughout the month that they will have seen, just like us. There's an employment cost index, which is a quarterly sort of labor income data that we're getting before the actual number as well. And there's also things like the job opening data. So they have plenty of data. I wouldn't anyway have said that Friday's monthly payroll report would be enough to change the way that they react, unless it's an incredibly unusual report. And even then, that'll probably be dismissed as some sort of aberration.
Well, look, with all this data going on, you'll need some sort of things to take your mind off things. So I hope in your number of the week this week, you've got something fun for us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go back to the Chinese markets, actually. So my number of the week is 50. And that's because, quite strangely, the Hang Seng is up 50% since the end of October to the 30th of January, 50%. And that's because the Hang Seng has got a lot of China technology stocks, where we've seen a lot of pressure being eased, the China property market. But frankly, most of it is because it was so weak on the 31st of October that it didn't take an awful lot for it to swing upwards. So it's up 50%. Does that mean that everything's in the price and you should stay away from Chinese reopening trade? But it's still actually, it's still down like nearly 30% since the recent highs of the 17th of February 2021. That's the sort of last couple of year high. So to get back up to that, using your sort of your maths, it could rally another 40% to get back just to where it was back in February 2021. So, you know, again, you're math. Glass half full, glass half empty. I personally think that you've got upside still in the rally in China, because, you know, the things are opening up pretty aggressively. And I think that they'll continue to be more positive about the property sector. But yeah, you've already missed the first 50% if you get involved now, but maybe you get another 40, who knows?
Yeah, it's a maybe rather than a recommendation.
Absolutely.
So watch this space. Ben, great to talk to you. You're looking really well. And I hope you survive the rest of the earnings season and all the data number that we've got to crunch. But thanks for coming to talk to us. And thank you to all our listeners for listening. Thank you.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website. Copyright 2022. Legal and General Investment Management Limited. All rights reserved. No part of this publication may be reproduced or transmitted in any form or by any means, including photocopying and recording, without the written permission of the publishers. This material is issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, the licensed corporation BBB 488, regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission, for professional investors only.